So again, I'm a senior escalation engineer with the Open Specifications support team at Microsoft in developer support. And I'd like to talk today about accessing APIs from your add-ins. Okay. So just to go over the agenda here, this is what we're going to talk about. I'd like to start with an overview of some of the constraints in using APIs in your add-ins. Okay. This will set up the scene for at least one in particular issue that you're going to hit when trying to make calls to APIs from your add-ins. So, and then we'll divide up the APIs into two general categories, internal and external, and then focus mainly on the external and a specific issue that you're going to run into, because the internal ones pretty much will be easy to call, and some of the external ones as well. So that's how we'll set things up. And then I'd like to take a look at two scenarios of add-ins, two particular add-ins, one that uses the OneDrive API set to access files and folders from OneDrive from an Outlook add-in. And then the second scenario uses a third-party API set to get shipping information about packages. So let's first take a look at some of the constraints that you're going to run into when you're accessing APIs from your add-in. The first thing is, and this is kind of the crucial thing that will come into play when we look at the issues that you're going to hit in calling external APIs, and that is Office add-ins are hosted in an iframe that uses the sandbox attribute. And this sets up some restrictions around what your add-in can do and what APIs it can call. And I'll talk about that more in the coming slides. Some other things that you need to know, some constraints that you need to know about, are that you won't be able to do modal dialogues. Things like JavaScript alert, confirm, and prompt functions won't be allowed. You'll need to use asynchronous programming. This is the typical model for calling APIs. So your data will be returned asynchronously, and so you'll need to program for that. I'm not going to talk about these particular issues. Those are things that we can get into in later sessions or one-on-one if you need to. But I just wanted to mention those so that you're aware. And then you'll need to be using HTTPS. This will also come into play when you're calling your add-ins. HTTP won't be allowed. So you'll see some exceptions if you try to call APIs with HTTP only, non-secure. Okay. And then just to let you know, the available add-ins are for Outlook, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Project, and Access. Okay, so let's start taking a look at the different categories. For the purposes of this talk, I'm dividing the APIs that your add-in may call into two general categories, internal APIs and external. The internal ones are really straightforward. These are built-in functions that are in-facing into, say, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, and Outlook. They give you access to the document, the email items, things like that. And so you can see here, this is an example of adding required attendees to an email item. And you see that the call right here is item.requireAttendees add async. And you notice the add async or the async part, which signifies that this is an asynchronous call. So again, asynchronous is the model. You don't want to hang the UI when calling these. And this is the way this function is built. Okay. So internal APIs are fairly straightforward. You probably won't have many problems calling those. They're going to be documented. External APIs are APIs that are facing out, away from the actual hosting application like Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and Outlook. Okay. When calling APIs on other services that are outside of the applications, there are three basic options that you're going to run into. The first is kind of a best case scenario where for example, here, I give an example of an Outlook add-in calling EWS. Okay, so you can see this is option number one. And in Outlook add-ins, the mailbox object provides make EWS request async. So this is a function you can call to make an EWS call. Even though these are REST calls and you would normally have to set these up, the Outlook add-in model provides this function to make it easy for you. So this is kind of a best case scenario for calling another service's APIs, REST APIs. The details are taken care of for you. The second option is what we call same origin. So this is where the resources you're trying to access or the APIs you're trying to call are in the same domain as the calling script in the browser. And that is also a best case. And this is called single origin policy. So the policy is actually enforced by the frame sandbox attribute that I mentioned earlier. And I'll talk about that in the next slide. The third option that you'll run into is where the browser script is not in the same domain as the external resource that you're trying to get access to. And in this case, and I put a little asterisk here, creating a proxy can sometimes help with this, and I'm going to show this in the coming slides. But there are several options to deal with this. So single origin or same origin policy allows scripts running in a browser to only make requests within the same domain. So basically what the browser is doing is it knows that you're in this sandbox, and it's going to make sure that any calls from your script are using the same URI scheme, host name, and port number. And this is really the focus of this talk, is to understand what happens when you're making these kind of calls and when you're not in the same origin. So in the same origin, you can see here the add-ins in this diagram, the add-ins are calling, you know, outlook.office365.com. They're calling for some resource there. That works. But if anything else changes, you may get an exception. You probably will. Okay? So some ways to overcome the single origin or same origin limitation. We've got several here. These are all mechanisms that are in place and that will work given the right constraints. So the first is JSONP. This is called JSON with padding. This is a contract between the browser running in the script and the server providing the resource that says the server will wrap the JSON data that's returned in a JavaScript call. So it'll actually wrap it in what looks like a function call. And then on the browser side, in the script in the browser, the JSONP mechanism actually injects a script block. And that script block will execute what was returned, wrapping the JSON data into an object. So it's a good mechanism, and it works. And that's one way to get around the same origin policy when you're trying to call outside of your domain. Another option is to do server-side scripting. So this is where you would actually implement your add-in on the server side, all the scripting on the server side, and then just return the rendered HTML. And so that gets around it because the add-in script does not actually reside in the browser. The browser is ultimately the one that's keeping you from making these calls to external resources. Okay? So that's another option. CORS, which is known as, or cross-origin resource sharing known as CORS, involves using headers, and these headers will set up the communication protocol so that the browser, the script running in the browser, can make access to resources outside. And these headers are fairly simple, but they're required on both sides. On the server side, it has to know to use the access control allow origin header or other headers to restrict by method and by content type. And on the client, it needs to know that it's going to identify its own domain using the origin header. Okay. And then finally, there is another way to do it. You can use the window post message mechanism. It's available on most browsers. And this allows communication between different windows and tabs within a browser. Both have to implement the post message handling. and make the calls, and they have to understand they're going to be done it, and they're going to be doing this. So this gets around it by allowing indirect, you know, so if you've got, say, you know, Facebook in one tab or in one frame in your browser, and then you've got a script running in another page, those are served by different domains, but the two communicate with post message, they can indirectly access resources on each other's domains. So these are some of the options you can use to get around accessing APIs and resources on external resources. The bold one here I show bold because all the other ones require that both sides, the script running in the browser and the server, are agreeing ahead of time and setting up some kind of mechanism. Only the one in bold, which is the server-side scripting one, can be done without that mechanism in place. So here's a diagram just detailing that second option. And you see here you've got the add-ins running over here, making requests to a proxy or to the server-side scripting, which is then in turn making the request to the server. Okay. And then the data flows back and forth because the scripting is all happening on an intermediate server. It's not happening in the browser, and the browser won't block you from making these calls. So let me run through these scenarios, the two that I mentioned here, and kind of give you an idea of what to expect. Okay. The first one is the accessing the OneDrive APIs from the Outlook add-in. And this is actually an add-in that you can take a look at. There's a sample out there. And the general flow for these add-ins, and you'll find this is the kind of flow for most add-ins using APIs, is to register the app and obtain like a client ID, client key, a secret, some kind of identifying information that is then used in calling the APIs. And in the case of OneDrive, there's also authentication that's needed because we're accessing personal information and personal accounts on OneDrive. So then the next step is to sign in using the loginlive.com sign-in mechanism and then fetching the details from OneDrive for the files and folders and pictures and things and then signing off. So that's the general flow here. I'll go into more detail here. So in step one, this is shows the registration page, and you see here that we're registering the, not only will we get the client ID eventually, but we're registering a callback or a redirect URI for use with the login mechanism. And here you see the REST API being called, or the format of the REST API. So here for doing the login for the authentication, you need to use the client ID and the redirect URL. These are the two things that are used. When the client ID is passed, that means that we're able to call this API to do a login. The redirect URL, and after the login page comes up, so that this is a picture of the login page. Once that comes up and the user enters their credentials, then the successful login will cause the redirect callback, and then that callback will store a token. So the login page will pass a token to the redirect callback page. That token can then be used in the API calls to OneDrive. And here you see the token being used in the REST call for fetching and downloading files and folders. Okay, so pretty straightforward. And this is actually sort of the best case scenario because everything's taken care of. There's authentication, the keys for calling the APIs, and what's even more important, even though this is external APIs being called, it's not on the same domain, OneDrive sets up the mechanism and allows the cross-origin sharing, resource sharing. Okay, so that's all taken care of by OneDrive, and this is a good example where you don't have to do anything special. Your add-in can just call these. Finally, the last step is signing out, And you see here that you do need to use the, again, you need to use that login page, loginlive.com, which requires the client ID to use the page, and then the redirect URL, which when you've successfully logged out will get called. Okay. One thing to note that's good to know is that cookies are often used to store the token information and to store the login session when you've logged in. And so if you want to be able to not only sign out, but you also want the next time you log in not to be cached so that the browser will use that same login session, then you'll need to invalidate these cookies. Okay, and this is the way you do it, by setting the expiration to an earlier date. So it's a fairly easy thing to do, but knowing how to do that is kind of important. That way you can not only sign in and sign out for the user, but you can also provide a way to allow a new user to sign in before the cookie expires. Okay. So, like I said, best case scenario, OneDrive sets things up nicely for cross-origin sharing, and here's a screenshot showing the app, logging in the user, accessing the files, and then signing out the user. So pretty straightforward for that one. So now I want to talk about the scenario where you may need to implement something a little bit different. And this gets back into the cross-origin sharing, resource sharing, and gets into the mechanism. So in this case, we'll be talking about the AfterShip APIs. AfterShip is a third-party service that provides tracking information for packages. And to make calls to their API, you have to go through a similar set of steps. It's a little bit simpler in that you generate a key, you register your app and generate a key, and then that key is used for the APIs, and then you can just call their APIs. There's a two-step process. When you have a package tracking number, you simply call their API to add the package tracking number into their database and get an ID back, and then that ID can be used to get information, tracking information, and checkpoint information, all kinds of great stuff. Okay? So sounds good. However, you will get a CORS exception when making this first call. The reason is because this first call is a post, and AfterShip's service on their side doesn't allow posts from the browser. So apparently they were set up to be called from non-browser environments. So your add-in is going to be calling this from the browser, and you'll get an exception on the first one. The second one is a GET. That is allowed. Okay. So we won't have any problem on the second one, but the first one we'll get an exception. Okay. So back to step one, register your app. This is the AfterShip page showing how we register to get the key. And then once you have the key, then you can use that in the subsequent calls. Okay? And so here's an example, the API endpoint for AfterShip and making the call. And then here in the header for your call, you need to add the key. And the type is JSON, so we're exchanging JSON data. And then in the post, you're sending package information in JSON. And the main thing that you're sending here is the tracking number. Okay. The other information can be filled in. AfterShip can actually look all this stuff up for you and fill it in and then return the data for you. But you can provide some of it, SMS numbers for notifications when your package arrives and things like that. So it's kind of a nice little service. But this is the key thing that you're transferring. And then this is an example of doing the AJAX call. In this case, this one happens to be a GET. It should be a POST, but it is a POST, method POST. So this is the AJAX call. And of course, for a POST, because of the headers that are not provided by AfterShip, you'll get an exception. So again, this is the problem we're trying to solve for the external APIs. Okay, and our solution for this particular add-in, and I'm going to show you the add-in in just a second, but our solution was to provide a proxy So instead of writing the add-in completely in server-side scripting, which required a lot of rewriting, we decided to simply create a Node.js server that did its whole purpose was just simply to make the API calls. And then that way, our add-in could stay in the browser, all the scripting could stay in the browser, but it would just make calls to this Node.js server. So we used routes in Node.js, and you can see here, this is the route that we used for doing the post. And then it turns around in the Node.js code, it turns around and does an AfterShip API call. And this is actually AfterShip API, which is wrapping the REST call, okay? You see here this access control allow origin. So the node server that's making the API call is doing the core's header, which is allowing the communication between the add-in and the Node.js. So that part of it now we've taken care of. And then once we've got control in Node.js, we're no longer running in a browser. Now we can make AfterShip calls like posts, and everything will work. And back in the add-in, we're just simply calling the route for our Node.js server, and then we're getting the data from it instead of from AfterShip directly. Okay? So now here's the diagram again, and it's fairly simple, straightforward. But in this case, now this middle proxy piece is Node.js. You can host, you know, your server that does the proxy, you know, simply on Azure. You can do it on third party like Heroku, something like that. We chose to make it simple and put it on Heroku. But you can see it, basically it's the same flow, but in this, now we've got a customized, you know, set of APIs that we can call and that do the calls for us on behalf of our add-in. And the code that comes back kind of looks like this. It's JSON, and it has checkpoint information. It shows where all the package has been, where it stopped, where it is now, that kind of thing. Okay, and at this point, I just want to show. So this is actually, I'll bring up my email, and this is the add-in itself. So here's an email that I have. This is an Outlook add-in. So this is something that Tarun and I. Oh, sorry, I'm not showing you. There you go. And let me get my pointer over here. Something Tarun and I, Tarun's in the back. We worked on this together. And if you have any questions, we can both answer the questions about this. This is what the add-in looks like. So this is an email that has tracking information about a package or about a bunch of packages when we run our add-in. So it comes up here and shows, I've got connectivity here. So it shows, one thing you'll notice here is that we do recognize the tracking information in the emails so that we can add those into the list. Now it should be actually updating. And I don't know why it's not updating. Make sure I've got connectivity here. I do. Let me just refresh this. Of course, it was working right before I stepped up on the podium. Not working right now. I think I may have lost connectivity. There. Okay, well, I can show you what it looks like. Because I do happen to have a screenshot here. So this is what the add-in looks like. At least I can show you the what it looks like when we open it up. And as you can see, you can open up a package that's been shipped to you and see the timeline down here. and see when it was delivered, where it's been with the checkpoint info that came through from the JSON data. In this particular add-in, we've allowed the ability to update the description and information about it. As you saw, there was recognition for the tracking numbers in the email, and you can click on those and add those dynamically to your list, and then keep a running list of your packages. So let me just see if that's back, if I've got a couple of minutes left here. I think I do. Going to reconnect to the Wi-Fi and refresh. Do I still have a couple of minutes left? Here we go. Okay, and then let me get the So in summary, what we've covered is internal versus external APIs. What are some of the issues with calling external APIs? Namely, the same origin policy that you're going to run into when you try to call third-party APIs that are not set up for being called within add-ins. And this is important because your add-ins, you want your add-ins to provide rich content from a lot of different sources, not just from Microsoft, but from other sources, right? And this is a good example. The track package add-in was a good example of that. We're trying to make use of third-party services to provide value within Office to our users. And so the solutions are listed here. They include a JSONP, server-side scripting, using CORS headers and post message, and then I showed that you can avoid having the communication mechanism agreed upon on both sides, avoid the contract kind of thing by just doing a proxy or server-side scripting for your add-in. Okay? So if we have some time, I can take questions. If anybody has any questions about this. If not, it looks like everybody's okay. If not, then I hope that this will help you in developing your add-ins and move you forward in getting rich content into your add-ins.